the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. In this season of Advent, this season of the Nativity Fast, of preparing our hearts and souls to make a cave within to receive the Master of all, we can look to the great messianic prophecy recorded in the book of Isaiah, where we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This child is the center point, the one center point of all creation. The Word of God come into the world to lead souls lost in darkness to the one true light of God. And he is the Prince of Peace. Speaking to the Gentiles in Ephesus of the historical divide between the Jewish people and the Gentiles, of the difference between the chosen people of Israel and the rest of the nations, ta ethnos, Paul writes in today's epistle, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of division, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." What Paul applies here to the Gentiles and the Jews applies to all humankind, and indeed to all creation. The nations are yearning for peace. Look at how much war right now surrounds our world. In fact, not only the nations and not only the people, but all of creation is yearning, straining, hoping, long-suffering for peace. It itself has been subjected to frustration. And enmity and discord have been sown between different parts of the creation. An enmity which was not there from the beginning, and which shall not last unto eternity. For a few lines further on in the book of Isaiah, we read that when the Prince of Peace comes, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Beautiful. Brothers and sisters, the earth itself rejoices at the coming incarnation, the nativity of the Messiah, of the Christ. Elsewhere in Paul's letters, we may read of the fruit of his coming, the fruit of the Spirit of God himself, which by his Son was poured out once again upon men. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. These, of course, are the very qualities of the being of God himself, and which then also burst forth from and within his own creation, provided that it does not depart from him. And these are the qualities that he would fill us, his people, with as well, that he yearns to place into our hearts. What did the Messiah say when he walked on this earth? If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Life in Christ Jesus brings an astonishing fruitfulness to our human nature, to all of nature. And today, let us consider one particular fruit, one virtue, namely peace, which gives an example of how Emmanuel, God with us, beautifies and completes our human nature. St. Gregory of Nyssa writes that those who cultivate virtue by living a godly life and by turning from worldly desires are eventually themselves joined to the true peace. He writes that the presence of this peace is a key marker revealing one's participation in God. In fact, he says, before peace is established, one's use of the title Christian is a sham. But when peace comes to a soul, God first establishes harmony, homophonia, or a symphony, St. Gregory writes, symphonia, interiorly, among the various aspects within one's being. And especially, he writes, in the civil war within us between our flesh and our spirit. For a human being obviously is made up of different parts, our bodies, our souls, our deep hearts, our emotions, our minds, including the mind's memory of all its various experiences. All these are parts of who we are. Yet how often they are at war with one another. The spirit wants to do good, but the body or the emotions or some memory get in the way and go to war against our spirit. And we are internally divided, at war. As Paul teaches, there's more than one law operating within us. This experience is common to all. In fact, in ancient Greek culture, before Christ came, the idea of virtue or of living a virtuous life was perhaps most often expressed in terms of coordinating the different powers of one's being so that they were all working in harmony with one another. You might remember the story or the image of Plato's chariot and the charioteer trying to steer the two drivers. St. Gregory speaks here of much the same thing. When the Prince of Peace comes to a man, the first event is not to end wars exteriorly in the world, but first, he says, to quash the civil war within us, between my flesh and my spirit, and to establish a right and a peaceable order within. Father Joseph referred to this last week as a right ordering of our desires. Remember? Again, Christ has come into the world to bring peace, but he does so first within us. St. Gregory says we cannot, in fact, go out and try to create peace between our brothers, between nations in the world, if we don't already first have peace established within us. For what a man does not possess, he says, he cannot give to another. And what results, Gregory teaches, when peace comes within us, he says, is an experience of profound internal delight. Brothers and sisters, are we tired of the war within us? Does it sound nice to have your interior life be one marked by profound delight? Then listen to what he said. In fact, he calls peace the greatest of the joy-giving things. To live at peace with oneself and in harmony with the commandments of God. And then, peace not only brings joy and order within, its presence next overspills our human nature, spreading out and around. The saints, Gregory writes, come to superabound more and more in the grace of peace, bringing the overflow of this abundance to others. As our Lord said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living waters. God makes his saints, St. Gregory writes, like the pleasant scent of sweet spices, which fill the surrounding air with their own fragrance. And this fragrance, he writes, in turn, acts as a healing medicine for others. The order is important. Peace, again, begins within. For one cannot give to another what one does not possess oneself. So again, the Lord wants you first to be yourself filled with the beauty of peace. And in this way, you might reach out to those who have need of such a possession. Close quote. Because of its outward radiance, Gregory suggests that peace ultimately can be understood as nothing other than a loving disposition toward one's neighbor. He describes the various outward effects of, and pursuits of making peace, a lack of war, good relations with others, and so forth, all the while asserting that the heart is not the source of any of these effects. In fact, a nature which is overfilled can't be the source of its own abundance. A nature could only ever produce as much as it could produce. If it's overfilled, then there's something else happening. Excess implies something beyond natural capacity. What overflows comes from a greater source. And in this way, he writes, peacemakers actually show forth in their own life the characteristic property of the divine energy. The saints act in harmony with God's ways, yet their activity issues not merely from trying to emulate God, but by participating in his divine life and in his free bestowal of his sanctifying power. And as with peace, so it goes with the other virtues. Grace overspills and emanates from the saints, and Christ Jesus is the source of their power and life. Brothers and sisters, may the God of peace fill us all with his joy and peace as we trust in him in each circumstance of our lives, so that we in those circumstances may be overflowing with peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.